You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ah! 3 o'clock row. What's going on, people? As John Ireland hates for me to say, thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you. Without you guys, we would not be able to do this dumb show every day. Michael Thompson's hanging out today.
All right, hey, Michael. He stepped out. I just told him I had a question.
He stepped
for
out.
Him.
He had right, a question for him.
All right. Screw
it. So over the weekend, the Dodgers just Dodgers and Padres just played a beautiful series, a great regular season series, and they're going to do it again starting Thursday at Dodger Stadium. And these two teams are more, after coming away from it, the Dodgers are easily the best team in baseball. But I think the Padres are second.
Oh, of
no
question.
Of all the teams I've no watched, I got the MLB pass program.
Who else would even be in the running?
It's not even close at this moment. It's not even close. The Red Sox have been pretty good. The Mariners, who they're playing tonight, have been pretty good. The Mets have been pretty good. But nobody's been great. Nobody's been great. The Dodgers have been great. They're 13-3 now. Padres dropped to 10-7. Actually, the Giants are 9-6, actually ahead of the Padres in the standings. But it's going to be Dodgers-Padres as we move through this season. And I think the Padres have got a really solid pitching staff. They've got a couple of big bats in that lineup with Machado and Tatis Jr. back-to-back, or Tatis and then Machado, who's – Machado yesterday just – he owns Trevor Bauer. It was the weirdest thing. It's like Bauer was throwing a great game, and as soon as Machado stepped to the plate, he hit a single to the left side. And he is, I think they said after that, 12 of 17 off of Machado.
Yep, hitting over 500 on him.
Yeah, off of Bauer, which is just crazy, just owns him. But other than that, Bauer threw a great game. The bullpen screwed it up a little bit later on. But the bullpen has a lot of depth. I like a lot of those arms down there. I like Victor Gonzalez. I think that that Brusdar Graterol will figure it out despite his struggles yesterday. Trinan is really good in a setup role. Knebel is really good in a setup role or in a save situation. Price has been really good out of the bullpen. And Kenley Jansen, who we just heard about, has been really solid out of the bullpen. He did not blow that save, by the way. The save was blown by Knebel.
Oh, because Knebel let the guys on base. That's right. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so it was Knebel's save that got blown. I'm not going to say it's the new Yankees Red Sox, because that rivalry has got years and years of history. But the best rivalry in baseball at this moment is Dodgers Padres, and expect a playoff like atmosphere this weekend at Dodger Stadium. Juan and I are going to the Saturday game as fans.
Well, and we get an extra game. This past weekend was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This week it's Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah,
Dodger Stadium. So
I'm looking forward to going out and seeing a baseball game as a fan, John. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and Joe Davis was on with us earlier, and he says it's only 15,000 fans. Ramona went to a game while you were gone and said she zipped right in, zipped right out.
Yeah, no traffic, I guess, would be the upside of reduced capacity. But still would rather see a full crowd out there, but looking forward to being at a game and having Dodger dogs and all that kind of stuff on Saturday night at Dodger Stadium. I think that's a 6:10 game, Padres-Dodgers, which should be a great one. So, is Michael back? Michael just wanders away. Just wanders away. All right, John, I want to ask you about this particular scenario here. I had this for Fast Track, but I'm going to bring it up to you. It sort of ties into what you were talking about with the sort of building a super conference in soccer over in Europe and in college football here. Two Democratic senators have introduced federal legislation called the College Athlete Bill of Rights. And among a long list of reforms, there is one item that jumps out. schools will be required to share 50% of their profit with athletes from revenue-generating sports after accounting for the cost of scholarships and the expenses of putting on the games. So basically, it's a 50-50 rev share. If you're at Alabama, or you're at Clemson, or you at USC, or Ohio State, or Michigan, a 50-50 rev share would be unbelievable. What do you think of that as a concept?
Well, about time. Yeah. You know, I think they should have done it a long time ago. I'm surprised that they're asking for 50. I'm glad they are. They deserve at least that. But I've said for years, Reggie Bush's jersey sold in the USC student store for 3 years, and he didn't get a penny of it. Ed O'Bannon, the guy who started all this case, had his jersey, along with his brother's jersey, selling in Westwood for 5-6 years after they won the title. He got zero.
The AP did a survey of 357 Division I athletic directors. 69% say they strongly oppose being required to give athletes a share of university revenue derived from sports. 77% say many fewer schools will be competitive.
Well, I'll tell you why. A couple of reasons. All right, so let's say you're the best player at Alabama.
Yes.
You're Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
All right, you're going to receive a much larger amount of money for selling your jersey in the state of Alabama and online than a kid will for being a basketball player at Cal State Northridge.
Yeah.
So now part of your incentive when you are being recruited is, I'm going to go to a big school where I can fully monetize my value. That's what those athletic directors are talking about, how they're going to be at a huge disadvantage when it comes to what they can offer people. In terms of, like, if you're the best football player in the country and you don't go to Notre Dame or USC or Michigan or Alabama, you can leave hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table, maybe millions.
Yeah.
And so that's one reason why. And then another reason why is, so the way a college athletic department works,
yeah,
is you take all the money that the football and the basketball team make, and you use it to pay for all of the other sports.
Right.
Because most sports in a college athletic department don't make money. They cost money.
Sure.
So what could happen is what happened at Stanford. So Stanford saw the writing on the wall, and they basically kneecapped 11 sports.
Right.
They said, if this passes, we're not going to be able. And so why are we giving scholarships to men's volleyball? Men's volleyball doesn't make any money.
Right. Football funds men's volleyball.
Right. So they got rid of 11 sports, Mace, just because they knew this was a possibility.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a little bit of a dance. It gets tricky because of Title IX. Title IX says that you have to offer the same amount of scholarships to men.
Correct.
That you do to women.
Yeah.
And what's a little tricky about that is if you have a football program, there's no such thing as women's football. So, and you have 75 scholarship football players. So at a football school, you're already 75 down in trying to meet Title IX.
Well, and the football players get the football money. The women's basketball players get the women's basketball money. Whatever rev share, that's a 50% rev share.
No, the women's basketball players, unless they played at like UConn, that doesn't, like the women's basketball team at UCLA doesn't make any money.
It doesn't.
No.
Well, then they don't get any money.
Correct. So there, then the best player at UCLA might want to go to UConn. But there's two reasons for that. So now, other sports, there's a trickle down here.
Yeah.
Other sports are going to be eliminated if this passes. But I'm for it. I think that guys who generate that much revenue for their schools should not be completely shut out.
Yeah, I am for stipends, and I am for being able to monetize your own person as a college athlete. But I also think football funds all these other sports, and so I would be against a 50-50 rev. There should be a men's volleyball team. There should be a golf team, a women's basketball team, a women's volleyball team. There should be all that stuff. That's part of what a university does. It provides opportunities.
Right.
And
so
if you went to a 50-50 rev, you're wiping out a lot of those opportunities.
Yeah, so would you, if it was up to you, would you approve it or deny it?
I deny it.
For that reason, you don't want to kneecap the other sports?
Yeah. I don't want to defund everything else, which is what you would wind up doing.
Well, it depends. Like, Stanford did it to make a point. Stanford has a $100 million endowment.
Endowment, sure.
They could, every student that pays to go to Stanford could go for free for 50 years and they would still make money. Right. But they just did it to make a point.
So I want to ask you about something else. Terrell Owens has partnered with Tommy Lasorda's family wine business. Did you know he had a family wine business?
I did not.
Business? Yeah. And T.O. is doing his own wine, which is branded 81, which is
so do
appropriate.
I.
Yeah.
We got what?
Did you know that, Mace?
What?
Michael's not kidding. He has him and Clay are starting their own wine label.
With the Arenado family.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Diamond and Three. So you get the connection?
Diamond and Three.
Yep. Why do we label it that?
The baseball.
Arenado plays on a diamond, and Clay's famous for shooting three.
Right.
Ah.
Like it, Mace?
Nice.
You like it? You like that?
I like it.
And
I
you know
like
what?
It.
I've tasted it. I've tasted like the premature sample.
Yep.
It's better than Camus.
Okay. Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. So T.O. says, "I'm not a sommelier yet, but descriptions of wine like Big and Bold fit me well." Now, I am not a wine drinker.
Oh, you're missing out.
I don't get the whole I'm developing my palate and I'm tasting notes of cherry and oak and...
You've never got into it.
Crabgrass and other things in the wine. No, I never got into
You're kind of a sophisticated, educated man. I'm surprised.
I'm not sophisticated, Michael. I'm not a sophisticated guy.
You kind of are.
And I'm never going to understand the difference. I think we could put a glass of...
We did.
Famous.
Oh, we did once.
No, you faked that.
Wait a minute! You'll
never know.
Did this experiment go down?
Wait a minute. Weed makes it. You are. I'm serious. This weed is.
Well, no. Explain it, because nobody else knows it.
The experiment not only went down, you were in it.
Okay, yeah. So explain it.
So we bought a bottle of Boone's Farm, and Michael bought a bottle of Camus,
right.
And we gave it to everybody in the room. We had them sample it, and half of the people didn't know the difference.
Oh, come on.
Michael, you were there.
I remember that, but you guys were just pulling my leg.
Well, let
no,
me
I
say this.
Mason was not.
Boone's Farm is delicious. As has often been said, I have the palate of a 16-year-old. Hmm. I like everything super sweet.
But you know what, though? There are a lot of wines that I find really good.
Yeah, for $20. Yeah, they're good.
That are not, like, ridiculously expensive. But, right. Michael, have you chosen a price point yet for Diamond and Three?
Yeah, it's around about $100 a bottle.
What?
Okay. Oh, it's worth it.
No, that's about right.
$100 a bottle?
Yeah, for good wine, for the best type of wine, yeah. That's the price, Mace.
You should make an economy version of it, like $2 Chuck.
No,
you know, there's a lot of people, Mace, that are involved with their own wines. Jim Fox, the Kings announcer, has his own wine. It's very good.
See,
Dick Vermeil has his own wine.
Yeah, I was at Dick Vermeil's winery up in Calistoga. Mm-hmm.
Drew Bledsoe has his own wine.
CJ McCollum.
So either, if you're famous, you either start a wine label or a tequila label.
Yeah.
Or a podcast.
It's very prosperous.
Or all three.
We're all three.
Snoop Dogg has his own wine.
Wow. Does Snoop Dogg drinks wine?
Yeah. He drinks wine with Martha Stewart. Where have you been?
Yeah,
no.
Mace. You're missing out, Mace. You got to get into it.
I did not know.
And it's healthy for you, Mace.
It's healthy.
It'll keep you from having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. That's why Italians live so long.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't have that developed. Do you do all that stuff? Like it's got hints of
oak and all that stuff. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Cherry and...
What about
mossy tones?
What about Julio? Is he a wine drinker?
Juan drinks a little bit of wine, not a lot.
Red or white?
Red. Always
you know,
red.
Michael is a white wine hater.
Yeah,
well,
I don't know.
I don't say it like that. I will drink it as long as it's expensive.
No, you will not. I've never ever seen you have a sip of white wine.
No, not if red is on is the choice. But I've been out with my brother Andy.
What about if you're out having lobster? You can't drink red
of
wine.
Of course you
lobster.
Do.
Come on.
Where did you get that?
Yeah, no. I think those rules aren't true. I think you're allowed
to. The rules
eat.
Are changing. But
yeah, you're allowed to have red wine.
A great
wine and
white
seafood
wine
now.
With lobster is excellent.
You can have red wine with chicken with everything. Just ask Joel Myers. He's the ultimate connoisseur.
Joel drinks red wine with cereal.
With eggs. With eggs. <right. laughs> Exactly.
No one loves wine more than
him. Oh, he's the best. Yeah. Him and Greg Popovich.
Coming up next for you, the one guy in the world who thinks the Padres may be better than the Dodgers. Dylan Hernandez of the LA Times comes on. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, so I open the LA Times today. I'm lying. I don't actually get a physical copy, but I go to their website like I do every day. I'm a subscriber to the LA Times, and I'm used to Plachke irritating me. And today it was Dylan Hernandez who wrote in his column that the Dodgers may be the best team ever, but the Padres could be the best team in the division. It's very, very confusing, but he seems very high on the Padres, and he joins us right now. Dylan, what's going on?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good, Dylan. Mace, I'll tell you this. You were in Mexico. I'm guessing, Dylan, your point is that all three of those games could have gone either way. I mean, that's how close these games were. Is that part of what you're trying to highlight in this column?
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, if you keep reading, beyond, I don't know how, you know, maybe it's my fault for not making it engaging enough, but if you keep reading, get to the second half of the column. I mean, I make the point that, look, you know, as close as these games were, as well as these Padres might match up like in a particular series, the Dodgers are still the favorites in the division. Okay, they have the depth, especially, you know, the season's kind of going from a 60-game season to 162. Dave Roberts himself said, you know, he managed that game differently on Sunday, knowing that they had 5.5 months left in the season, right? I mean, when the kind of critical moment, you know, the bullpen, he turned to Dennis Santana, relatively inexperienced rather than the guys like, you know, Blake Treinen, you know, Knebel, who have been kind of the guys to pitch in those high-leverage situations usually. Go back a couple years ago, right? The Colorado Rockies pushed the Dodgers to game 163. And I would say this Padres team, you know, this Dodgers team might be better than that Dodgers team, you know, but I think, you know, this Padres team is better than that Rockies team. And, hey, look, stranger things have happened, right? I'm not saying that the Dodgers are going to lose the division to these guys. But you know what? One thing to keep in mind is that because of the way this thing is set up, you know, the winner of the division is probably going to play the runner-up in that divisional series because I'm guessing the winner of the division is going to have the best record in baseball. And so now, you know, then you get the wild card who's, you know, could very well be, again, if it's the Dodgers winning the division, could be the Padres. Five-game series, hey, anything can happen there, right? And, you know, again, we saw here how close these games were. You know, in the five-game series, hey, look, again, anything could happen. I don't think it's out of the question that the Padres can win that series.
Dylan Hernandez is our guest from the LA Times. Dylan, I've said, and I've watched the Dodgers for 30 years, I know we're only 16 games in. I think this is the best Dodgers team I've ever seen. If you look at their starting pitching, all five guys could probably be a number one on some other teams in the league. There's some bad teams in the league. And they're doing this all without Bellinger, and Mookie Betts missed four games. Is it too early for me to say something like that? Is that hyperbole to suggest this might be the best Dodger team ever?
I think it's, there's certainly signs pointing in that direction, right? I mean, I think you're right about that, right? They were without Betts and Bellinger for a while, and, you know, the offense has kept rolling. You know, you take a guy like Chris Taylor, you know, what is he, like the sixth or seventh best hitter on the team? You know, right. He'd be batting in the middle of the lineup for most teams, you know. So I think that's a good point. You know, at the same time, you know, I always kind of say, you know, again, these historical things to me, the game kind of changes, right? And right now, I think what we do have in baseball, unfortunately, is that there are not that many teams that are even trying right now, right? I mean, the fact that, you know, we're making such a big deal that, like, oh, my God, the Dodgers have a competition in this division for the first time, like, in 10 years, it doesn't actually speak all that great to the sport, to be honest with you, right? And, like, you know, when it comes to just kind of, like, beating up on bad teams, like, you're going to see them just score a ton of runs to do this. Now, you know, I do think that, and this is what's going to be interesting, I think, in the playoffs is, you know, we did see in this last series, right, Betts did not have a good series offensively. You know, Corey Seager, I think, had one hit in the whole series, you know. So it's not like the offense is entirely, like, unstoppable, you know. And, you know, to me, to kind of get that best team ever type thing, it's about what you accomplish in the end. So I think ultimately it'll come down to, you know, do they win the World Series or not? You know, again, they're my pick. You know, and I think if they win it and do it in the fashion that a lot of us expect them to, certainly we can have that discussion.
Dylan Hernandez, LA Times with us. So here's the thing about it. I mean, for me, I've seen to the point that this is the best Dodgers team that I have seen. That is an unbelievable starting rotation. When your third guy is the reigning Cy Young Award winner and you've got two studs following him in May and Urias, along with Kershaw and Buehler, I mean, that pitching staff is unbelievable. And they're giving them a lot of length. The bullpen, they match a lot of arms, and I think that the bullpen will improve. But in my mind, this is the best Dodger team I have seen.
Yeah, and I think, you know, also we have to, again, put it in the context of the season, the circumstances, right? And the one thing that I think that they've done really well of is, you know, they've buffered themselves, you know, for kind of to withstand the rigors of jumping from 60 games to 162, right? They have a surplus of starting pitching. It's going to allow them to skip guys, rest guys occasionally. Even with the bullpen, again, they're able to, because they have surplus starters, they're able to kind of move these guys into the bullpen. And, you know, we worry, I think, about, like, the position players, how their bodies are going to, you know, stand up to the length of the season. We worry about the starting pitchers. But, you know what, the relievers are also guys that you need to be worried about. And you don't want guys going from, you know, having pitched 20 games last year to all of a sudden jumping up to 70-plus games. And obviously this, again, just the way they're set up, it's going to allow them to, you know, again, get through the season. And not just that, but, like, because, again, that surplus, come playoff time, you know, yeah, you look at the bullpen right now and, you know, there are a lot of parts of it that you could say, okay, well, I don't feel that comfortable about that. But this isn't what the bullpen is going to look like in October, right? I mean, there's a good chance, again, that Dustin May is pitching in relief, come October.
Is coming out of the pen.
That'll kind of change. Yeah, right? And that kind of changes the dynamic completely. So, yeah, again, I think, you know, your point stands there. There's a lot of pitching here. And, you know, that's ultimately, I think a lot of times what wins championships.
But I'll give you this. I have absolute confidence that the Dodgers are going to win the division. Over 162 games, I think all that depth plays in a huge way. But in a five-game series, I agree with you. I absolutely anything can happen. I mean, you can get knocked out by a team that was the wild card. There's no question about it, because it's a matter of being hot at the right time, getting performances from starters at the right time, getting solid bullpen performances at the right time. Baseball playoffs are an absolute crapshoot. So I think the Dodgers win the division, and then it always is dicey in the postseason. It's just always dicey, no matter how good you are. You can be the Washington Nationals and have a really, really mediocre season and all of a sudden win the wild card, get hot, and go all the way to the World Series. We saw the Giants do that a couple of years ago. We saw the Cardinals. We saw the Angels do that as a wild card. So once you get to the postseason, it's a whole different ballgame. But over the 162, man, I think the Dodgers are going to win 105 games, and they'll beat the Padres by at least 5-7.
And by the way, Dylan, could you argue they're going to win more than 105? I mean, we had Jim Bowden on here last week, and he said if I set the number at 110, he would take the over. In your head, what's the expectation level here?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it definitely could happen. I think a lot of it honestly is going to depend on how good the Padres are, because what we have seen kind of in recent history, right, is that once they kind of get to September and, you know, when they have a comfortable lead, they start lining themselves up for October. Now, if the Padres are anywhere within kind of striking distance, it's going to kind of force them to keep pushing and pushing. And, yeah, I could see them getting even close, you know, as ridiculous as this might sound, I could see them getting close to, like, 120. I mean, I know this is like a crazy number, but, I mean, they're that good where, you know, and I think, the big challenge, right, over the course of a season is how do you just kind of withstand, like, the length of it, both physically and psychologically. And, again, you know, it's one thing if, you know, your headline guys, right, I mean, they're going to obviously, you know, your Betts and your Seegers and your Bellingers, you know, could have kind of their ups and downs. But, you know, this team, if it's not those guys, it could be Muncy, it could be Taylor. Now it's McKinstry, right? They just have so much going for them that I kind of, you know, even I like the odds, right? I mean, baseball is all about like percentages and stuff. They have so many guys there that I like the chances of somebody doing something on a given night. And, you know, when you add all that up over the course of the season, there are a lot of bad teams in baseball right now. Like I said, there are very few teams that are even trying right now. They're just so much better, I think, that, you know, I wouldn't be, yeah, I mean, 110, I think is definitely doable.
Wow. All right. Hey, listen, Dylan, I guess I now understand your column better. I was going to say, what are you saying the Padres are better? But I you're right. As you get deeper into the column, we do get, and you're obviously as high on this team as we are. Hey, Dylan, thanks a lot for coming on, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, guys.
All right, there's Dylan Hernandez, LA Times. Oh, John, there's another word that we're supposed to stop using.
What's
another
that?
Word? I will tell you what it is. Oh, coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, we got Lakers versus Jazz tonight. Lakers beat them on Saturday in overtime. Tonight, Rudy Gobert and Mike Conley expected to play. They did not play on Saturday, and Donovan Mitchell still out for that game. No Anthony Davis tonight. Do we have any other injury updates
and
for tonight, John?
There's a sliver of a chance you could see Anthony Davis, but Frank Vogel said that it's unlikely he would play tonight, and he was targeting the games in Dallas later in the week.
So. Yeah.
Mace, did you see how many threes Utah shot in that game?
Yeah, they're just bombers, jeez, man.
I know,
just
it's
bombers.
Ridiculous.
Hey, Michael, I want to ask you something.
Oh.
All right, so you and I both love the NBA, but we did that game on Saturday.
Yeah.
And there was no Rudy Gobert, no Mike Conley, no Derek Favors, no Donovan Mitchell, and we think the only guy who was really hurt was Mitchell.
Right.
Tonight, Miami is playing a game against Houston. They just announced Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Victor Oladipo, all out. And it seems like this is going on. Adebayo hit a game winner for them yesterday.
Yeah.
This is going on more than ever before.
Yep.
And the NBA even fined San Antonio for resting healthy players,
yep,
for putting them on the road. So the league's trying to – Is the genie out of the bottle? I mean, can, yeah, we not do anything?
No, Adam Silver's got to do something, man, because if I'm a paying customer and I'm going to see these games and guys are sitting out Mace just because they're resting,
right,
I'm not getting my money's
worth.
You know,
Mason is for this, Michael.
No.
He's for,
well,
load
I'm,
management.
I'm for managing. I absolutely am. I mean,
Mason,
let's face it. You guys, all you do is measure people by rings. All you do.
No.
The only thing that matters is the rings.
Mason, now
you're
no advantage.
So why do you not make sure guys are ready when it's time to play for the rings
Playoffs? You load manage the next day. Tell them don't come to practice. They can stay home and rest. But game time, it's time. People are paying big bucks of their own free will to come see these stars play, to see these players play. If you want to give guys a day off, give them the next day off, no practice.
By
that's
the way,
how you rest.
Mason's argument is the one that Greg Popovich makes.
Yeah, the only thing that matters is the ring.
Oh, please.
That's all you do is it's all rings for you.
Then
but
why
wait
should,
a minute. But, Mace, what if you have Zion on your team? And he's this unbelievable attraction that people want to see.
Right.
What if you have Steph Curry?
Yeah.
Who's like tearing up the league, and you just get to a game.
Well, that's great. But when it comes time to managing games, I'm completely in favor. By the way, Elias, this
wait
is
a minute, wait a minute, Mace.
Yeah.
You and your significant other just doled out $400 a piece to go see a team play because some exciting players are coming to town.
Right.
And you get in your car and you drive. Deal with traffic and pay the parking and concessions. And
by the way, I'm going to do that Saturday with the Dodgers.
Because you're going to see this. You're not paying to go see the third stringer play or the second stringer play. You're going to see the stars.
And yet,
and they don't play. You don't feel
yet,
like you've been
Mookie
cheated.
Mookie may not play Saturday. I'm going to still buy that ticket. I'm still going to that game.
Right, but
I may not see Mookie.
Not if the Dodgers did it every single time. And if you pick if you look around the NBA. You could pick a game every single night where somebody is resting stars.
Yeah, that's
it's
not
just
right.
Become that prevalent.
Well, here's what's interesting. Elias says that of the 2021 All-Stars, they collectively have missed 15% of games. And one NBA GM says it is a lot of soft tissue injuries. Injuries have unfortunately been part of the game, but they're going through a really compressed schedule now.
Right.
There are teams that are playing 5 games in 7 days, which is just too much. And with the entire summer stretched out, I don't know why when they made the second half of the schedule, they didn't take the advantage of time. They had the advantage of time.
Well, while you were gone.
Who cares if the playoffs are end in mid-July as opposed to early July?
They do end in mid-July, late July, third week in July.
The NBA Finals last possible end date, Mace, is July 29th.
Oh, July 29th.
They didn't want to go into August, Mace.
Steve, while you were gone, Mark Cuban came out and he voted for the play-in tournament.
And now says, no, I didn't like
it. Well, no, he didn't just say no. He used the phrase, it was a horrible mistake because we're making these guys play too many games. And I don't know how you get in front of it, but Michael, you're right. It's affecting the business model.
It should.
Now.
It should. If I go to a game and the Stars ain't playing, I'll get up and leave.
Right, and maybe demand a refund, which they're not entitled to have to give
you. This is a star-driven league, Mace. That's what the NBA thrives on.
But, Michael, when you're playing 5 games in 7 days, which a lot of teams are, five games in 7 days is a really compressed
Nobody's
schedule.
Playing 40 minutes a game. They can handle it. If we could do it back in the old days and playing in rubber,
the only thing that matters is the
rubber
ring.
Shoes, they can do
the
it.
The only thing that matters is the ring. That's all.
Why charge fans for 80 games then? That's the point.
Because they will pay it.
Supply and demand.
Because they will absolutely pay. But I'm completely okay with load management. I really am. I think it's smart. And again, this is basketball. This is the NBA's own problem. The NBA's own problem is the only way anybody judges somebody is how many rings they have. Or he's never won a ring. You know what? If I'm a guy that's never won a ring, I'm going to take the time to make sure that I am healthy.
Right, but
if I'm getting 5 games in 7 days, I'm going to make sure that I get one of those days off so that I'm fresh when it comes to time to play for the ring, which is the only thing that NBA people care about.
You just said, if I'm a guy who's never won a ring, I'm going to take time. The guys who have won rings are sitting out. All right, the guys that have won rings before are
right because they know it's how many rings have you won,
right.
And this is the only sport that does it too. No, people don't do it in football. You're not nobody without a ring. Baseball, you're not nobody without a ring. You can still have a great career in basketball. The only thing that matters is how many rings you have.
That is
I think
weird.
It's a mistake to view the game that way, but people do.
Well, in football, they do it. What do you say about Dan Marino?
They do it with quarterbacks. You're right. It's fair. They do it with quarterbacks. Dan Marino, greatest quarterback who never. That's absolutely a thing. But baseball, I mean, I guess Clayton Kershaw, we said that about, never won a ring. But it's rare in baseball to say, oh, that guy never won a ring. You know, nobody remembers that Ted Williams never won a ring. Nobody remembers that. Never won a championship. You can still be great. But in basketball, no way. In the NBA, got to have rings.
By the way, you brought up Ted Williams. Did you guys read? We were talking about NFTs earlier, non-fungible tokens.
Yeah.
Did you guys read where his family have released 7 or 8 Ted Williams NFTs and they're selling like crazy and they think they're going to be able to make millions off them? So if old players can do it, players who are no longer alive, think of like, are we going to have Babe Ruth NFTs? Are we going to have Mickey Mantle NFTs? Probably, right?
Right. Are we going to have Elvis Presley NFTs? Frank Sinatra NFTs?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is
Michael Thompson NFT.
Yes.
How much is that Michael Thompson NFT worth?
Well, the Michael Thompson was
not as much as his bottle of wine, I'll tell you that much.
That's right.
Michael, you should give when people buy the Diamond and Three wine, you should have an NFT attached to it from you in your playing days.
Just an image of my picture on the little dinghy.
On the boat.
On the boat. That's right.
On the raft, yep. Exactly. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. Ireland. Apparently, while I was gone, Ireland won once. Jorge won once. Michael won once.
Yep.
Momo won once. It's an
Momo
interesting week
twice.
Of games.
Momo
she won twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. All right, so it's your game today, John?
Yep, got it. And Michael, you can play. It's a good game. You guys will like it.
All right. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yes, it is Game of Games time. And as always, it is brought to you by our friends at Power Pro Plumbing and Heating. They are powerful. They are professional. And they're more professional than me because I cannot find my copy right now. But they are absolutely fantastic. John, do you have any further information? I don't know
about
what
Well, you know, they're
that.
My plumber, and they want to be yours, too.
There you go.
And you can visit them at powerproplumbing.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much. All right, it's Game of Games time. And let's see. John, what do you got?
All right, guys. Now, we spent a ton of time talking today about this Dodger-Padres series. Over the weekend. So I have a game. I have a list of 10 players. They either played for the Dodgers, the Padres, or both. So that's the game. Dodgers, Padres, or both. It's okay. Lindsay, Jorge, Michael, and Mace. Here we
Excellent.
Go. Lindsay, you first. Greg Maddux. Dodgers, Padres, or both?
Dodgers.
Jorge.
Dodgers.
MT.
Dodgers.
Mace.
Yeah, I don't think he ever threw for the Padres. I'll say Dodgers.
The answer is both. After he left the Dodgers, Greg Maddux threw for the Padres. Nobody gets the point. All right, number two. Jorge, you go first this time. Dave Winfield.
Padres.
Okay. MT.
Padres.
Mace.
Padres.
Lindsay.
I'll go both.
You should have stuck with the crowd, Linz. He played only for the Padres. Played for the Yankees later, but never for the Dodgers. All right, Michael.
Yes.
Chan Ho Park. Dodgers, Padres, or both?
Chan Ho Park. Dodgers.
All right, Mace.
Dodgers.
Lindsay.
I'll go both.
Jorge.
I'll go both.
Lindsay's on the board. It is both. He pitched for the Padres after he played for the Dodgers. Right, so, Jorge, you have the lead.
I know.
What the hell?
Jeez.
All right. Mace.
Yes.
Fernando Valenzuela. Dodgers, Padres,
or Dodgers.
Both?
Oh, Dodgers. Dodgers. I
Lindsay.
Can't imagine he ever went down there.
Dodgers.
Jorge.
Dodgers.
Michael.
L.A.
He spent 2 years with the Padres after
Get
he pitched.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Nobody gets
Why
the point.
Why do I not remember that?
All right. Lindsay.
You have no memory whatsoever.
Yeah,
so
yeah, true that.
You need to say, why do I not remember
You
that?
Don't remember what you did last week.
So
All right.
So let weed.
Yep. Lindsay. Fred McGriff. Dodgers, Padres, or both?
Padres.
Jorge.
Both.
MT.
Padres.
Mace.
Padres.
Jorge, both. George, did you know or were you guessing?
Oh, I knew it. I knew it.
He played 1 year, his age 39 season with the Dodgers. And George Briones has the lead.
Wow.
Okay, next one. MT, Eric Karros.
Eric Karros.
Dodgers, Padres, or both?
Dodgers.
Mace.
Can't remember him with the Padres. I'm going to say Dodgers.
Okay, Lindsay.
I'm going to say both.
Okay, Jorge.
I'll say Dodgers.
Dodgers is the correct answer. He never played right. He played for the A's and the Cubs, but never. So
I'm terrible
Jorge,
at this game.
Four. Michael, two. Mace, two. And Lindsay, one. All right, here we go. MT, this is to you, right?
No, okay. It's Lindsay.
It's to it's either to Lindsay or to Mace. I'll do Lindsay. Tony Gwynn Jr., not Tony Gwynn, the Hall of Famer, his son Anthony. Tony Gwynn Jr., Dodgers, Padres, or both?
Padres.
Okay. Jorge.
Both.
Michael.
Both.
Mace.
I know he was with the Dodgers. Was he ever with the Padres? I'm going to say Dodgers only.
Michael and Jorge get the point. He paid for both.
He's a Gwynn. He had to be with the Padres.
Yeah, I know. I remember him with the I did shows with him after he retired.
Okay, Jorge.
Bye.
Matt Kemp.
Both.
Michael.
Both.
Mace.
Both.
Lindsay.
Both.
That didn't fool anybody. Yeah, Matt Kemp.
We all remember him going down there slogging around that outfield.
One of our favorite guys. From Sportsnet LA, Michael, Jerry Hairston, J-Hair, Dodgers, Padres, or both?
Both.
Mace.
That's a both.
Lindsay.
Both.
Jorge.
With the crowd, both.
Jorge, you got it. Gary Harrison played for both. All right, the last one. Mike Piazza. Lindsay.
Both.
Jorge.
Dodgers.
Michael.
No, he just went to the Mets, so Dodgers.
Mace.
Yeah, Dodgers.
He played his age 37 season with the Padres.
Get out of here.
Leonis wins the game.
It's like old Dodgers go to San Diego to die.
Yeah.
Isn't that
weird? That's right. Steve Garvey was the first one to do it, right?
And when I sat down to write this game, I had no recollection of Piazza playing for them. I had recollection of Fernando playing for them.
Wow.
It just goes to show you guys at the end of their career, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, go anywhere. Go
should've
anywhere.
Should have done Agon.
Yeah.
Well, Agon would have been too obvious, as would Machado.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Garvey, he played for both.
Lindsay, my game on Thursday will be involved just you and George, but you can have lifelines of either Mason or Ireland to help you guys.
Oh, wait a minute, so we can't win?
Yeah.
You guys are involved. You can help George or Lindsay win.
Yeah.
Or you can win if your partner wins. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's
what
we'll
do. Got it. That's a good way to do it.
But Mace, it's a history quiz.
Yeah, just random questions.
Okay.
Big events, Lindsay. I'm sure you and George know about them.
And Mace, so am I. So this is the hard decision they have to make. They with each question, they can use a lifeline, but they have to pick which one of us they want to use. The other guy can't say anything.
Right. You can only give them one hint. One hint.
Yeah. I'd totally pick me.
I would pick me.
Oh, you got to go
with
I'm
the smartest person on the show. I won Jeopardy.
You can't remember what you ate for lunch yesterday.
I'll tell you what. I remember I won Jeopardy when we did it before. I killed you in Jeopardy.
So, Lindsay, if you don't know the
Lindsay
answer.
Lindsay made the deciding question, your favorite book ever of
all
time.
She had no idea.
I was supposed to know that.
How was she supposed to know that Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist, was my favorite book of all time?
Because you've said it on the show about 1,000 times.
By the way, you should go read Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist. It really is. It's an unbelievable
book. Lindsay, you'll have a lot of help to beat George on Thursday.
All right, great.
Hey, so Michael, what happens tonight? Gobert's coming back.
Yeah.
Mason picks the Lakers to lose every night. He picked them to go 1-6 on that road trip.
Wait a minute. Michael was not especially optimistic on this road
Michael
trip.
Gave
I was 2-5.
Yeah, Michael gave him 2-5.
Yeah, 2-5. I wasn't worse. I think I gave him... Did I give him 2 or 3?
No, you gave him 1-6. You
I
said they were
going
to go in that.
Yeah,
game.
I thought it was going to be a rough road. I thought they'd win the Charlotte game.
You know what they've gotten into this really weird habit of? They, I hate to say this about tonight, but for like the last 11 games, this has been the pattern. Uh-huh. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. So hopefully tonight they snap out of it.
But you know what? I'll take that.
Do you know the media today is so horrible, guys?
Why?
You see what they're trying to do with Zion Williamson now? You see what he asked him in the post-game press?
Yeah, where he said the New York is the Mecca.
Yeah, that he loves playing in Madison. And they're trying to make something out of that, like he's going to be
so
a Knick.
Stupid.
Every player says that about Madison Square Garden, whether it's Kobe or every player said that.
This reminds me of the dumbest fine in the history of the NBA is when they asked Magic Johnson about Giannis. And he said, I think Giannis is one of the best players the game has, and I hope he leads Milwaukee to a championship. And because he had a front office position with the Lakers, the NBA fined him.
Right.
Zion didn't say anything that Kobe didn't say 1,000 times.
No, he's not in trouble for it. They're trying to insinuate that, he wants to be a Knick.
Michael, that's what we do. We are insinuators. That's what we do. We are professional insinuators. We are supposed to read the tea leaves. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're doing there, Michael.
He has said what Michael Jordan said, and Kobe and Magic. They've all said they love playing in New York and Madison Square Garden.
But I thought he had a specially beaming smile on his face.
Yeah, because they all do. Kobe was you see how Kobe loved playing in Madison Square Garden, putting on a show? So to Jordan. It's a special place to play.
This is just Knicks fans dreaming. Let them dream, man. Let them dream.
No, it's not the Knicks fans. The media trying to make something out of it.
Well, that's what we do, Michael. We make stuff out of stuff. We're stuff makers. Yeah. John, don't we make stuff?
Hey, we don't have a gig without stuff.
Exactly. We're in the stuff business.
Michael. We're in the stuff business.
It's the stuff business. Some people use other S word.
Yeah, no. Well, we are.
That wouldn't be wrong.
Let's face it. It's 3 hours of BSing. It's 3 hours of BS.
You come up
that's
with three,
you get every
3 hours of grab ass every day. It's not
exactly.
Easy.
Exactly. All right, so tonight we got Lakers pregame coming up for you. Spock and the Jock is at 5:30. Michael Thompson and Alan Sligua. And, of course, coming up next for you is
– Oh, by the way.
Yes.
We asked Sligua on the other day, has he ever heard of the Osmonds?
Yep.
Because Utah's in town.
Yep.
Never heard of the Osmonds.
Ah, that's unbelievable.
Guy was born at age 30.
Lives under a rock. All right. George, LZ, and Cap, we're coming up for you next. We are back tomorrow. We'll wrap up this Utah Lakers game, and we'll look back at Dodgers Mariners tonight. Big night in sports. Mesa in Ireland. This is 710 ESPN.